And Butte Views and Beyond comes to you on the fourth Thursday of the month. My name's Ray Lager. I'll be your host today. And on this program, we focus on cultural assets, economic development through arts and culture, and just kind of a focus on the community as well. And this program is made possible, of course, by your contributions and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunities by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. Stay in touch, in the know, and or have your event listed. Visit friendsof.art. Alrighty, welcome to Thursday night in Chico. Market's happening downtown right outside our door here. And beautiful, nice, warm night. Pushing 88, I think. Just remember, if you're coming to the market, no pets allowed. It's a state requirement that if you have food, you can't have pets unless it's a service animal. So just wanted to put that out there. And speaking of the Thursday night market, we are going to start today's program off with an interview from Katie Valenzuela, taken earlier this week. We have Katie Valenzuela joining us from the Downtown Chico Business Association, and she is the Director of Engagement and Communication. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's been a interesting times all around, and it's so great to see the Thursday night market back.
It definitely is. You know, I've talked to a number of our vendors, and some of the vendors didn't even, you know, work last year. And so for them, this is, it's just such a blessing. And then, you know, it's also great to see all of our parklets and all of our patios, all of them coming out and people really supporting our local businesses. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. And it's, you know, again, it's just another, you know, it's another sign, and, you know, everybody's being smart, and that's good. And, you know, I've been to a couple of events already this year. We did the, Wildflower and Nature Festival on the first Saturday of April, in Oroville at Riverbend Park. And, you know, the booths were spaced out. We had about 3,000 people, and it was extremely successful. Everybody was very well behaved, and it was just, everybody was just like smiling.
Yeah, there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of happiness when people can be outside and enjoy the fresh air and seeing people, even if it's, you know, underneath a mask. But it's just good for people to get out and get some fresh produce, to listen to some singer-songwriters, to enjoy the plaza. It's just been wonderful. So, you know, we started a little bit slower than most. So the market typically is 26 weeks and it runs from April through September. And this year we decided to hold back and not open it until May. So this Thursday will be our fourth market and we're going to carry that through. We're definitely seeing more vendors starting to come in June, July timeframe as well.
Oh, that's great. And you're going to go on through September?
Yeah. So I think it's September 16th or 17th, which is the last Thursday night market. And then I think it's the 16th and then the 17th is the last Friday night concert. So that starts up this Friday with Dirty Cello. And both of those events, we were, you know, we decided not to have them last year. We know that our events are much loved with the community. Some of them have been going on for, you know, 43 years. And we just decided to put, you know, the health and the safety of our community first. And so, you know, we pivoted a little bit. We did the online marketplace, which is you guys have some of your stuff up, but we did not do our events. And so we're bringing it back. We're bringing it back safely and slowly.
No, and that's, you know, really, it's the last thing you want to do is have an incident occur or something where somebody, you know, you're impacting somebody's health and you just have to really look through it.
You know, and as well as your staff and all the people that help make that event happen, the volunteers, the people cleaning up the trash. You know, I mean, it's interesting that during this time of pandemic, that the definition of an essential worker has changed from things that you would never include before, and you realize what would our world be like if we didn't have these simple basic functions like sanitation and grocery store clerks and, you know, people to drive trucks and move goods around, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I think everyone that's at least the way we feel about our downtown businesses and our ambassadors. I mean, we're all essential, you know?
Yeah.
And here at the DCBA, we do every job, as you know. So right now there's only a 2.5 of us and then some volunteers. So we are lean and mean.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the same at the radio station as well, too. And, you know, you learn some. I mean, there's a lot of lessons to be learned. And, you know, it's great to have the extra help when you can. But, you know, to have all those skills in just a small number of people is, it's essential in this climate we're in, and also kind of in like nonprofit world and stuff. You know, we don't really have the luxury of having, you know, a specialist or, you know, something for every category. It's like, no, you're that and you're that and you're that.
Yep, it's lots of hats. But, you know, the one thing that I always think about is, you know, when it gets to be 7:30 and the market's been going on for an hour and a half, and I just look out, you know, from behind my mask to all of the people and to all of the families and to all of the vendors and everybody that's, you know, sitting in the parklets and the patios in downtown and just enjoying life again. It makes it all worth it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The kids are eating their ice cream and knocking them on the ground, and people are just hanging out and laughing. No, and it's, you know, it's interesting in having done a lot of events. It's like once it gets off the ground, you know, like the first 10 minutes is always chaos. Something's wrong. Power's out. Somebody can't find their booth. They're coming in late. Once everybody kind of settles in, it's like this big exhale for about 90 minutes. And then it's like, okay, let's start thinking about pack out, you know?
Exactly. And ours, I mean, yours is 10 minutes. Ours is a good half hour I say it's just like organized chaos for the first, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. And then everybody gets in their spots and, you know, it's just, it's amazing to see it. We've got a couple of our videographers that are going to be doing some of the showing the process. So they're doing some videography, and hopefully we'll have that up in a month or two to actually show what it takes to get the market up and running within an hour.
A little time lapse or something?
Yeah. That's some time lapse photography. So that'll be very, very cool to see.
Oh, yeah.
Because it takes a village, and it's pretty amazing to see just the streets getting shut down, the cars getting moved, vendors in place, and, you know.
Yeah, and then the people magically appear.
Exactly.
So let's talk Friday night concerts. That's one, you know, that's such a big thing here, and not just here. Oroville has theirs at Riverbend Park, and it's all starting to happen again. I know they have the Mosquito Serenade up in Anderson. Reading has ones. It's such a great thing for the summertime.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being in college here and going down and taking a little, you know, a picnic basket in the plaza and sitting down with, you know, my apartment roomies. Right. And that's still going on. I mean, this is our 43rd year of the concerts. Yeah. In the park. So that is just amazing. It's going to kick off this Friday. It's going to go through September 17th. We've got everybody from Retrotones to Big Mo and the Full Moon Band on the 11th of June. Nice. Chuck Epperson, Alan Riggs, Smokey the Groove. We've got Mystic Roots, Triple Tree. I mean, it's just going to be a good, clean, fun time.
Oh, that sounds great. That's my favorite band there. And I'm glad that you got Alan Riggs Band, because he's been whining about not playing on Facebook for about a year and a half now. I don't know if your Facebook friends with him, but he's a very entertaining poster. Let's put it that way.
Well, he is. He's going to be there July 9th. So he's right after Smokey the Groove. So it'll be pretty fun. But we've had people that have been calling just to find out. And, we're starting that a little bit later as well. But we're excited to have it back and, to do another year of it. So,
yeah. Well, again, kind of baby steps getting forward and just having the market and the Friday night concert in place, will kind of set the stage. And everybody's looking out ahead thinking, okay, it's starting up. And I think by, the mask mandate's going to end here in a few weeks. And, I think by mid-July, I know that, there's 4th of July events that are happening. I think we're going to start to see things really start to roll back a little bit. And hopefully some things starting at the university that just kind of all feeds into the whole downtown vibe.
Yep. We've got a couple of tricks up our sleeve. We won't talk about those until later in the year. I'll come back and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to do like our Chef in the Market, that series where people can actually taste some of the foods from the different local chefs. Mm-hmm. That will get going in June, July timeframe. And then come August, with the fall semester coming back, I think they're up to about 60-65%. So it's going to be great. I know that, Chico State, I think they're bringing back, summer orientation for students and for parents to come up and enjoy. So, little by slow, we are getting this place back together.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, who knows, maybe, some of our regular annual events will come back to light. If not this fall, I think definitely we're about to see the end of it one way or the other.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It feels good.
Yeah, and I hope people continue to be prudent and be smart and take it seriously and do everything they could possibly do to stay safe. Let's put it
exactly
down.
And speaking of staying safe, I would love to just let people know that we are huge advocates of animals, but the Thursday night market, it's considered a food forum. And so we cannot have animals unless they are service animals in the market. So we've had a lot of animals, a lot of dogs in the market this year. And we're just trying to keep our market open and to follow the state mandates that says that, unfortunately, we cannot have animals in the market footprint. So.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. And honestly, being a pet owner for a million years and having all kinds of pets and dogs, they don't really enjoy that environment anyway. Let's face it. Take them to the park. Go take them swimming.
Soon it'll be too hot. But right now it's kind of like that perfect weather. And so we've been seeing a lot of them. Yeah. We just, it's a little bit of it's a liability on our part. It's also a California state statute that says that if you've got food in your event, you can't have animals in the event. So
right. And it's
got to keep Fido home.
Yeah. Well, and here's your dog walking down the street smelling barbecue and he isn't going to get any. He's not going to be very happy about that.
Exactly.
So, take him to 5 Mile, jump in the creek. Go, if you've never swam with your dog, it's a magical experience. So
definitely.
All righty. Well, you want to website? Where do people, if people are interested in becoming vendors at Thursday Night Market, are you guys still taking applications in that?
So we are still taking applications for the Thursday Night Market. We're also accepting performers through the season. So if they want to do that, you would just go to downtownchico.com. On our main page, there will be 3 badges. The first one is the Thursday night market. The second one is the Friday night concerts. And the third is our online marketplace. So everything that you would need is on those 3 badges.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
All right. Well, thank you for having me again.
Yeah. Thank you for taking time. And we'll have you back on again, I'm sure, as we check in and stay up to date on everything that's happening in downtown Chico.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you, Ray.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Things are happening. Again, market's happening right now. Perfect time to come out. Sun's going down. And come see what's there. I got to remember to bring home tomatoes. Bring home tomatoes. All right. Let's take a little musical break, and then we will get to our next interview here on Butte Views and Beyond. Joan Osborne for you, huh? Bet you didn't expect that. How Sweet It Is, name of the album, came out in 2002. Yeah, man, I love that tune. Great, great thing. She does a lot of great covers on that, so you might want to take a peek at that. Alrighty, speaking of things happening, and 4th of July, we had just mentioned, let's hear from our next guest that's involved in the 4th of July fireworks that's coming to Butte County. Thanks for tuning in today to Butte Views and Beyond.
Dave Pittman, welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you, Ray. It's a privilege to be here.
Now, you are with the Noon Rotary in Oroville, and you're also the fireworks coordinator, which is kind of what we're talking about, as the 4th of July is coming sooner than we think.
Yeah, Rotary's very happy and proud to help coordinate our celebration of the 4th of July. And, of course, the best part of the celebration will be the fireworks show on Sunday, July 4th this year.
Great. And once again, the launch site is going to be the Oroville Airport, as we're still in this kind of quasi-open shutdown mode. That seems to be the safest area and one that's really visible from a really wide part of the community, the foothills, and the city.
Yeah, we want to thank, of course, the city of Oroville and the airport, Tidmont Aviation, all the advocates for the airport, and then plus all our local agencies. The airport seems to be a very useful place to conduct the show and give as many people as possible a location to view and enjoy the fireworks.
Yeah. And it worked well last year. A lot of people could see it from their homes or backyards or even rooftops, I understand. And it's also super visible from the foothills, which is great, which services, you know, all of these communities that, you know, you might be 6 miles away, but hey, you can sit in your backyard and watch the fireworks.
Yeah, it's very true. We also have the opportunity that if you want to enjoy the fireworks from your patio boat or your ski boat, and you want to be on the water, well, the After Bay is a location that you can enjoy it from. The area surround also has the golf course, and we understand they're organizing some participation for participants. And they may have a small fee for food. Now, we haven't heard their exact plans, but that's another location. The perimeter area around, as you say, the subdivisions, almost anybody that has a elevation a little bit higher than 200 feet will have a good observation for the fireworks show.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if you have a view of the Lake Oroville or the Forbay area, you're going to see the fireworks.
That's true. And the other advantage that we have, and we want to appreciate our local fire department for the city and Butte County Fire and Cal Fire, they'll be, for the safety purposes, they'll be burning off majority of the airport grasslands area. So there won't be any problems with the fireworks and causing an event or an incident. So, and they use that area for training and getting their crews ready and their equipment ready for the upcoming summer. So that's actually been happening already. I believe there will be some more happening in the next week or two. So if you see smoke out there, it's probably that happening. We did find a really safe place to shoot them off this year, a little change from last year, because we have an additional event going on for that Sunday.
Right. And that additional event is kind of exciting and new and something that hopefully can continue, which is a fly-in to the Oroville Airport on the morning of July 4th.
Yeah, that's supposed to be on the schedule between 8 and I believe 1 or 2 in the afternoon. It's an Advocates for the Oroville Airport, the Experimental Aircraft Association, and of course, Tilmont Aviation and many others. I understand there'll be some cars and coffee event in the morning. So we may see more than just planes. There might be some antique cars for demonstration or just static display.
Yeah, and that's something that's pretty fun. And again, people come in kind of from all over the area, fly in, spend the night, catch the fireworks show. I know it's something that that they've done in the past and have had really good turnouts for.
Yeah, and we appreciate all the efforts of everyone around the airport, especially the private residences. We have not heard any problems from the past. And I think most of the residents out there are happy to coordinate things. But, of course, we ask people to respect private property and don't pull up and park in someone's front yard and plan to see the fireworks. But the airport fly-in is something that the airport's been doing on a monthly basis now on Saturdays. So there's getting to be a regular routine of participants. And in addition to the fly-in, there may be some demonstrations that go on with different aircraft. So that's kind of a moving target. I just would say you should just plan on going out there in the morning, getting a chance, and let your kids take a look at some aircraft and enjoy the different types of aircraft, both old and new. There'll be a lot of different things. And I know I keep hearing the list is getting bigger and bigger. So It's just a fun day.
Yeah, that sounds great. And we'll be updating the Facebook page as well, the Oroville 4th of July Fireworks Facebook page with information about the fly-in as it continues to grow.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We also appreciate the fact that we have the agency support, but the big issue, the big expense is the contract for the fireworks. Rotary is running a fundraiser, and if you wish to donate, please get a hold of us either on the Facebook page of the chamber or on the Oroville Fireworks Facebook page. Ray has more details on that. And you can make your donation. Now, all the money that comes in passes through Rotary's hands, and it goes to Upstate Community Enhancement to fund the contract. And that also gives you the ability to have a tax exempt for the donation. We've done this in the past, and we've always had good support. But just remember, the fireworks are only going to happen from your donations. And we appreciate that. And it's kind of a rare thing in most communities. There's different ways to fund these, but here through the efforts of so many agencies and personal individuals. And believe me, we get everywhere from $10 from your guy next door to some of our corporate sponsors. And it's really appreciated to the Oroville community.
Well, and I think that's a big part of it, because it really is a grassroots thing. It's just not like, you know, hey, here's this foundation that's paying for this. You know, back in the day, we used to have buckets at a grocery outlet and a different supermarkets, and people would just throw their change in there. That's changed a little bit over time. But yeah, it's really involved. Some people give $5 or $10 and do what they can and enjoy it. And they they also get some ownership of it that way as well. And if you, the Orville Chamber of Commerce, of course, is our partner on this. If you go to the Chamber website, they have a donate page, all the information's there. And it's also on the Orville 4th of July Fireworks Facebook page to donate. And it is tax deductible.
And we appreciate every dollar. As you'll see on the thermometer, fundraising thermometer, we did have carryover funds from last year. And Rotary keeps an account for fireworks. And that account only pays for things associated with the fireworks. And we did have a number of dollars left over from last year. And it rolled right in. And that was the first addition to this year's thermometer. So every dollar will be spent on fireworks and whatever associated things come about. Because we do have to plan for a few things, like having the necessary items out there, the porta potties and the lighting and all those kind of things to make sure it's a safe event.
Right. Some infrastructure for security. And, you know, this is one of the largest displays north of Sacramento, and especially in Butte County, for sure. And it's been great that it's been able to go on year after year. We've had some location changes, obviously, with the shutdown. The airport has been a great auxiliary site. And hopefully we'll just continue to grow. And there's plenty to do in Orville for the day. You can go to Riverbend Park. You can be on the river and then come get yourself a nice view and watch the fireworks in the evening. Go downtown, do some shopping, historic downtown Orville, lots of new restaurants. There's plenty to do.
Yeah, Ray, and I appreciate those comments because you're right on. The fly-in will essentially be in the morning hours and early part of the afternoon. And so the hot part of the day, we don't really have anything planned out there at the airport because that's the hot summer day. So you do have other opportunities to run around. And if you want to play in the water at one of the water beaches, the Riverbend Park has a brand new beach that's really quite nice. And then go downtown and grab lunch or dinner and then pack up everything and drive out when the darkness falls. We'll probably have the fireworks shooting off about somewhere around half hour after sunset to make sure it's dark enough. And one thing we learned from last year is we had left the lights on for the runway lights, and that was kind of a confusion for the fireworks. So we're learning too. Every year we see something better to do, and we're not perfect by any means, but we appreciate everyone's comments and support for it. It's a great day to celebrate the 4th of July, and it's very encouraging for a lot of us to see the young kids out there just taking the wonder of the fireworks and enjoying the show. And what we get over our minimum of the contract, we're going to add more fireworks. And that just makes a little bit longer of a show. And this year with the airport fly-in, we did have to adjust because we didn't want to – the setup for the fireworks has to go early Saturday morning. So we had to move it to a location so that all the airplanes could come and fly in and not be interrupted on the taxiways and the runways and all that. So I appreciate the airport and their coordination of activities so that we can put this all together. And it's a public facility. We are happy to put it off. And with the airport fly-in earlier in the day, it'll be a great event. I think it gives you opportunities to do more than just, get out and enjoy the day and get out and enjoy both waterways. Some could even kayak on the After Bay or the river. Yeah. Now, if you're on the river, you probably can't see the fireworks. I'm going to say that from an elevation point, but almost any other place, you're going to be able to see them. There is some closures that occur. The Clay Pit, which is directly south of the airport, that's a state park, and that will not be open. And then, of course, there's the South Forebay and the North Forebay, and those close down at sunset. So don't plan to stay there for the day. But other than that, we're wide open, and we're looking forward to seeing as many folks that can come and enjoy the afternoon, evening, and enjoy the airport flying in the morning.
Yeah, and the Forebay Aquatic Center will be open during the day. They'll close at sunset. But that's a great place to go and recreate. We have Brad, I think, is going to be the interview either before or after this one. So we'll hear all about that.
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's a great place to spend the day and cool off. And like you said, too, if you're kayaking, you can be on the South Fore Bay or canoeing and that, and get access kind of at that Larkin Highway 99 area. And you can watch them there, too.
Yeah. The After Bay is operated by the Butte County Sheriff's Office, and they have at the Wilbur Road or Monument Hill launch ramp, they'll have additional overflow parking, which is always a design for that area. And of course, there's the Rabe Road kind of modified boat ramp, which is basically the old roadway. Those are also locations that you'll probably be able to see the fireworks if you're pulling your boat off, you know, at sunset and those kind of things. So there's a lot of opportunities here. Again, we're hopeful that everyone just enjoy the show. It runs probably around just under an hour or less from beginning to end. But it's going to be a nice night. We hope everyone has a great day, either the fly-in or catching lunch in town, or spending time on the water. The North Fore Bay is Aquatic Center is really turning out to be a great facility. A big plus to Oroville in terms of rental activities. I know they've got all new rentals. They're also supporting people taking kayaks down the river. There's a lot of activities happening. And sometimes people worry, well, the lake is really low. Well, Lake Oroville is just one place in this town to play.
That's right.
We've got a lot of places to play. And please open the door to that idea, whether you want to hike. Most of the hiking trails are open now.
So mountain biking as well. Great place to mountain bike.
Mountain bike, the trail up to the dam and back.
Yeah.
And then find your way out to the wildlife area. You could certainly watch the fireworks show on a bike from the wildlife area. That's very easy to do. Yeah.
So we're going to put all information. We send people to the Facebook page. Very simple. Oroville 4th of July fireworks on Facebook. Keep checking that for updates. And again, you know, as these events happen, really keep the traffic mellow. Find a location that's a little bit away that you can get a nice view. Anywhere that you get a little bit of elevation, you're going to be able to see it. We like to really not impact the neighborhoods as much as we can and let them have a little peace. But just be courteous, carpool if you got groups, and be patient, because you know everybody wants to come at once sometimes, and that doesn't always work out. Dave, thank you so much for joining us. And again, go to the Facebook page, check it out. You get all the details there. Oroville 4th of July fireworks. And we're looking forward to it. And we'd love to have your help and make a donation to help us keep this great event going.
Thank you, Ray. Much appreciated. And Rotary of Oroville is happy to help out with this effort and looking forward to the future and trying to make a difference for our community.
All righty. Thank you. You know, we got all carried away. I was going to talk about Rotary, but we're running out of time. But we'll have That's to fine. Do that next month. You'll come back because we'll be a week before the fireworks. We'll do another reminder.
Excellent.
All right, take care.
Okay. All righty. We're going to move right into our next interview because it segues so well. Thanks for tuning in.
Brad Cook, welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. You are the man at the Fore Bay Aquatic Center.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
Yeah. So you guys opened up a little early this year.
Yeah, for the first time we have been open the month of May. Friday through Sundays from 10 to 7 p.m. And it has been welcome. There's lots of people already showing up.
So oh, it's that's great.
Big success.
Big success. Well, you had the perfect weather. You know, we had the upper 90s there. I'm sure people were like, yay, cold water.
Yeah.
So
we have been going. The end of May, of course, our biggest weekend is coming up. Memorial Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is notoriously one of our bigger holiday weekends.
Okay.
So we're ramped up and kind of excited about that.
Yeah. Now, so if people aren't aware, what are your hours on the Memorial Day weekend?
So the whole weekend, including Monday, the holiday, is going to be the same 10 to 7 p.m. Of course, the park is open from sunrise to sunset, so people can come out. A good tip for people is if you want that shady, beautiful spot, to be there early, because there's no state parks are no longer taking reservations.
Okay. So if you want, because the gates open, now the rental, your facility doesn't open until 10, but people can come, they could get their spot, they could go hang out, they could hike, they could picnic, they could mountain bike.
Yeah. It's all wide open. It's just to get the good spots, you know, you don't want to show up at 2 p.m. on a beautiful Saturday.
Yeah, unless you're really looking to get a tan. a serious tan. Well, yeah. I mean, so let's run down from folks some of the what you guys offer as far as rentals go.
All right, so we've got a lot of new equipment this year. We've got tandem and single kayaks. We have a variety of paddle boards, both inflatable and hard shell, and our newest item is it's called the Beast, and it's a gigantic paddle board that I just had 15 people on the other day.
What?
Yeah, it's like an ocean liner, and people can really move. They were taking it across the lake with this big group, and it's a big hit.
So are they standing or sitting or both?
The people that are energetic are standing and paddling, and then the rest are sitting around.
No kidding. So is it like a giant surf? It sounds like it's a part of a pier that is broken loose and is being taken over.
Yeah, it's consider it an 18-foot long paddle board that's kind of like a dock all mixed into one.
Right. How wide is it?
It's huge. It's got fins. It's made to travel. So it could both be float out onto the lake and hang out, or get some exercise and go all the way across the lake.
No kidding. Oh, that sounds fun. So it's like your own little island.
There you go. That's it. I like that.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. That's great. And then canoes or anything else? Does that pretty much sum it up?
Canoes. We have canoes. We have hydro bikes, which are riding a bicycle that actually is great. It's like riding a bike on the water. We have some of those. We're now, this year's first time, we have refreshments and snack foods also for sale. Ice cream always.
Great.
We're selling gift certificates this year. So yeah, there's a lot of new things to check out. We've really, really improved some things and made some investments.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I've noticed, you're really putting the word out there too, as well. And I think people are finally really starting to realize that when it's 98 degrees or something, you just have to drive about 20 minutes. And the water temperature is what, about 60, 62?
Maybe even lower. It comes from the bottom of the dam.
I'll tell you, just being in a kayak cools you off.
Yeah. And you know, with the drought year, this one thing that's to our advantage in a real serious drought year is that lake will always have water in it, because it's mandatory for agriculture. So we are guaranteed to never run out of water there.
Right. Right. And the interesting thing is, because you're the afterbay, your level of water doesn't really change.
Exactly. And if you take a look at Lake Oroville, I don't think people are going to be doing much on Lake Oroville at all. It is so low.
Right. Yeah. It's really kind of spooky low.
Yeah, spooky low.
But the South Forebay and where you are, the North Forebay, those levels are constant, and that's where the recreation is going to be.
And I want to throw a shout out to State Parks. They have kept the place just looking beautiful through the pandemic season, and it's looking really nice, really well cared for. It's $8 a car to get into the facility.
Right, that's a state parks fee. People need to understand that.
Right.
For us to drive into state parks, yeah.
And worth every bit of it. It's beautifully kept and manicured.
Cook, welcome to Butte.
Oh, I'm sorry. Looks like we had a minor hiccup here on the old computer. But Four Bay Aquatic Center, open and happening right here in Butte County. And if you go to their website, Four Bay Aquatic Center, you'll have access to all of their facilities, rentals, and you can order and fill out a waiver there as well to save you time if you're going to do the rental thing. And they also do events. So they do weddings, parties, business team building, a lot of different things that are offered there. And they also do runs down the Feather River where you can have your group come and charter with them. And they'll bring the kayaks up to the Green Bridge and you go down to Riverbend Park and they take you back up and that's all done. So, Brad Cook, sorry about that. All of a sudden, it just went away. But sometimes that happens here in the virtual world. So, with that, we'll just roll on and let's pick you out a nice song here to bring me back because you know, when those things happen to you, it kind of freaks you out a little bit. So, what did I have going? All right, here we go. Here's another surprise one for you. Thanks for tuning in, Butte Views and Beyond. Peanut butter and jelly time coming up next. A little Joe Walsh to get you going here on a Thursday night, market night, if you're heading downtown. If you're trying to drive through downtown, you might want to take a different route. I usually stay over to Mangrove because the downtown streets are closed, and it's Thursday night market. And if you're coming down, please, please, please leave your pet at home. It is a state mandate because it's a food event. So there you go. We want to thank everybody for taking the time to do the interviews this week. Here on Butte Views and Beyond, and we've got one more with a really fun event coming up for kids. It's kind of summer camp time, so let's slide over and all right, Joe's still playing. We're gonna have to put him on ice. There he goes. Alrighty.
Adrian Scott, welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. You are the curator at the Villaine L. Smith Museum of Anthropology.
Yeah, thank you, Ray, for having me on. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, I know that. Okay, full disclosure, you used to be at Storytime here on KZFR, so it's always great to see you, and people might recognize your voice.
Yeah.
But I know
KZFR lies near and dear to my heart.
I know that you're getting ready for your summer camp programs, and pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's been difficult to pivot during the pandemic, as we've all had, but we've had a lot of fun perfecting our Zoom technology and our Zoom methods. And we think while a lot of camps are opening up into in person, and we haven't really gotten the go ahead on campus to do that. So we're continuing with a 1 week Zoom camp. And we've got some really cool tricks up our sleeve. But most exciting is that we're kind of picking up on an anime show called Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts. And it's on Netflix. And if you haven't caught it, it is really something unique. In this age where we are all thinking about climate change and cultural changes and standing up for activism on all fronts of diversity and multiculturalism, this show has wonderful nuance and embrace for children to really see and live that, how one can make some good choices for the planet and for oneself. So they really embrace complex topics in a simple way. But I really, because I know that sometimes this whole dystopic, it kind of gets people, exhausted in a way with climate crisis. But this show shows what's possible in a apocalyptic version of anime. And it's exciting. So with all that in mind, we start off the week with looking at fungus. And there's a character in the show called Fun Gus, get it? Fungus. And what's coming out is this really exciting new science, and we really like to embrace science and art on our programming, so we jump into this fantastic future world and wonder about these subjects, but they are being wondered about now. So trees communicate with each other and cooperate. They are not in competitive style, and they communicate with the fungus that is a network, like their own internet underground. And it's exciting. So we're going to kind of do some of that, but also connect it to some Alice Walker. She wrote a letter to trees in 1987, and where she was meditating with the trees and kind of got some messages back from the trees and made an essay on that was really exciting. And so we're going to have kids write letters to the trees and kind of connect with the planet in that way. And so doing some exciting things. We're going to have an animator the next day, help us think about how to design your own character and animal traits and things like that. So there's a lot of fun, different ways of looking at climate change in a way. And bringing science and art together.
Right. And this is a 1 week program. Is that correct?
Yep, just 1 week. We're just going to chock full, get everybody stimulated and excited. July 12th through the 15th, okay. Each morning on Zoom. And it's for ages 5 to 13. We have breakout rooms to kind of go in different directions with different age groups. And different experts will come and join us. I think it'll have something for everybody.
And what's the, how long is the camp? Is it how many hours each morning?
So it's just 1 hour over Zoom with some other things you can do afterwards. So we kind of keep it snappy, knowing attention spans, but keeping it fun and real too.
Yeah. So something kids could do out kind of throughout that day or the morning and get ready for the day and things like that.
Yeah. And so we positioned it from 10 to 11 because we thought, you have a leisurely morning sometimes, and then people may be having other things going on in the afternoon. And last year we did 4 weeks. What's also exciting about this is that last year we also had people from Montana join. The thing about Zoom is, you really can come together. So it doesn't really matter what time zone you're on or where you live. You can participate in this Zoom camp. So we may always have something like this. Zoom lets us think about the world in a different way. And so we know the KZFR listening area. So if you're in Yuba City, Chico, Red Bluff, you can come.
Right. Or picking us up on the web. It's interesting because I had worked, did an interview a few months back with a group, similar thing where they were working with developmental disability people, and everything was in person, and they pivoted to Zoom, and suddenly they had clients in Michigan and in South Carolina, and people that were like, there's a lot of people that know about us as as KZFR has spread across.
Yeah.
And are like, oh yeah, my cousin, you know, used to go to Chico State and heard about, you know, but it was, they were absolutely amazed at the sudden outreach. And then of course those people told their friends, and it has changed things, and it's really leveled the playing field, I think, and yeah. Opened up so many possibilities. I mean, yeah, of course, we're all going to get back to in-person and those kind of things, but having that aspect, I think, is huge.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, with this program with Keepo and the Wonder Beast too, I think that they're, the Netflix program, you know, it caught my eye because it's different than the usual fare, because the characters are a multicultural, they're Black, Asian, white, and also, you know, completely different things too. So, there's a four-eyed pig that plays a role it's super exciting to help us get some language around building our futures. And also spreading the word, like you said, it can be from getting other people to come from different places in the United States can also build our perspective, especially here in Chico.
Sure. And it could also be archived and seen over and over again, too, which is it just doesn't have that one moment lifespan to it.
That's right.
And I also want to touch, you know, when you say anthropology, you know, my brother was an anthropology major for a while back in the 70s. And you think about going on digs and everything's 2,000 years old. However, you're taking it into the future. You're looking at really the whole holistic concept of anthropology.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's true. You know, in some ways, I think all of us are anthropologists because we study people. And people are – the past is one aspect of who we are. But really, we have muted so many voices from the past that we might not really have a very good idea of what the past is. And so reckoning with our present and then kind of shifting that lens to the past is another role that anthropology plays. And I think getting ourselves as educators, as well as the students that come and visit us, comfortable with these important conversations in playful as well as important reflective ways, and including, you know, like one of the books that we're going to bring up this year. It's called Buzzing with Questions, The Inquisitive Mind of Charles Henry Turner. And he was an entomologist studying bugs in the early 1900s in St. Louis, Missouri, and he was African-American and sort of, you know, a forgotten voice from history, but he really brought this important perspective to looking at bugs. And so, we will be, including much more voices of that perspective and even talking about traditional ecological knowledge, which is, you know, something that's important in this area as we're looking with the Maidu Machupta and, you know, new fire thinking and all that. So anyway, all these things can have a role. So the present and the past communicate through anthropology in my mind.
Yeah. And I can't agree with you more on the, you know, we have all this kind of skewed information about what our past used to be, and it's all been pushed through a Disney filter or a movie filter or TV shows, or, you know, let's face it, history is written by the victors, not by the victim.
Exactly.
And we really have a skewed idea of the way the world has been, which creates this whole crazy concept of we were better off in the old days than today. I've been doing a lot of reading about life in the 18 and 1900s of the constant misery that people just don't even understand.
Exactly. No, it's so important to keep bringing more voices in to understand our past.
Yeah, it's really, and you know, I mean, everything comes through this filter of, you know, oh, we were better off in the good old days. Let's get back to the good old days. Okay, then sit out in the mud. You have no heat, you have no clothing, and you have no food, and you have no options. So yeah. Enjoy it. And you can do it in your own backyard.
And as we look forward to, you know, an uncertain future as climate is changing, you know, embracing some of the things that the hard questions we have to look at. But again, like this show, this Keepo and the Wonder Beast kind of gives a little bit of levity to some difficult conversations to kind of help us have the food for thought and the energy for this work.
And the new voices and the new minds of the children coming up. And, you know, that's all we got. Cause you know, you and I were probably children of the '70s. I know I am probably.
Yeah.
And we thought we had it figured out then. And, you know, and then it went on and on and on. And every generation, I remember the, you know, Y2K, you know, and here we are in 2021 with no hope of change.
Yes. No, it's so true. No, we really have a lot to learn still.
Yeah, it took us 40 years to go nowhere. And, you know, time's clicking, but the level of knowledge of the, and I'm talking the really young. I'm talking the 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds.
Exactly. We want to inspire this new generation.
Yeah, it's quantum to what to what was going on before.
So. When we look at Greta, you know, we're so, you know, inspired and so many young voices are taking the stage that, you know, we need to be listening. People listen to their elders. That's very important, but also listen to our youngsters.
Yeah. I think we're heading for that time. All right. Let's, if people are interested in your camp, what should they do?
Yeah. So come to our website, csuchico.edu /ANTH Museum, ANTH Museum. And you will find everything you need to know about Zoom camp.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much for joining us. Sorry for the quick notice, but you're always welcome. Please keep us in tune on what's going on over there.
Yeah. I love the Zephyr. Keep on going. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views, opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. We want to thank KIXE PBS Channel 9, presenting a new season in 2021 Indie Lens Pop-Up. The lineup includes 5 new documentaries that support diversity, equality, and inclusion for a richer understanding of society today. To see the schedule, visit KIXE.org and M&M Real Estate, offering a caring, comprehensive, and efficient service with straightforward communication and transparency. More information about buying, selling, or the value of your home, visit ChicoForeverHome.com or at 530-321-3785. M&M Real Estate, providing a guiding hand to their clients and our community. Peanut butter and jelly time coming up in just another minute or two. Again, thanks everybody for tuning in. Big thank you to Ken Clark for our theme music today.
peanut butter.